you to Everbank Field. This is the 2015 scrimmage presented by Florida Blue. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier in the broadcast booth. We're bringing you all the action tonight for the next hour, hour and a half or so. The Jaguars inside Everbank Field for the first time. And, John, this is always a huge night on the calendar, especially for the fans.
Well, it's a neat night because we've all talked about it. We've been to all the practices, and some of the fans have been to all the practices. But it's Saturday night. There's even a little bit of a breeze. And it's the first chance, I think, for a lot of fans to see all the stuff that we've been talking about and to see the things that I think people are rightfully optimistic about. I'm not going to say all out excited. I'm not going to say we're doing cartwheels, but there's a lot of optimism around this team right now.
And the fans, of course, maybe some have come to some training camp practices, mm-hmm. but most of the folks here tonight, and there were 22,000 registered for tonight's event, have not made it out. So it's their first chance to see something on the field.
Well, and even the ones who have been to practice, this is not a preseason speed. But this is more of a live feel. This is more, you're going to see Blake Bortles. You're going to see some of this running game. This team wants to run the ball. I think you're going to see a few live hitting periods, a chance to really see maybe a glimpse of what this new offense is all about. You won't see the whole thing. It's a short scrimmage. But you're going to see part of it, certainly more than you'll be able to see in practice.
Let's take a look at three keys to tonight's scrimmage. And we start off with that new offense, offensive chemistry. It's a new offense. It's got to work.
There's going to be hiccups. That's clear. Greg Olsen, new coordinator, Blake Bortles, quarterback. They say he's picked it up well. They say the offense has made very few mistakes. We'll see.
Defensive speed. A scheme's been in for 3 years. They got to play fast.
Yeah, and it should be the best defense that Gus Bradley's put on the field here, simply because of experience and because of talent level. Very good cornerback group.
And playmakers. Got to finish plays.
Well, and there are more playmakers on offense, certainly. More guys who you feel are ready than have been here the first 3 years. This is going to be an interesting night to see those guys, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas particularly.
John, let's take a look at some of the rules for tonight's scrimmage, and it starts off with a situational scrimmage. No score kept tonight. Ones versus ones, twos versus twos, and the personnel could change throughout. Backed up, sudden change, red zone, goal line, and 2 minute are certain situations, and special teams work between situations tonight. And there are league officials here this evening. Pete Morelli and his officiating crew are here tonight. So the Jaguars 2015 scrimmage just about to get set to get underway. They'll start off with a kickoff, of course, a special teams period, and then they'll have a move the ball period, ones versus ones, and then they'll do it again with twos versus twos, just a regular offensive drive starting from the 20 each time. There'll be a punt situation. They'll be backed up near their own goal line for the ones versus ones, twos versus twos again. We'll keep you going throughout the night on the situation at hand.
And something key to watch for, there will be some situations set up so that they can take a look at special teams. Something that you don't get a chance to do very often in practice is get into a special team situation, and they have to be ready for that because they have a preseason game in 6 days. So there will be some times where things are stopped to make sure that they get a special teams look to where they get in the situation so that they can line up and be ready for next week. Josh Scobie
set to kick it away, and we are underway. And this goes to the back of the end zone. This is a scout team bringing it out. That is Nick Marshall, the former Auburn quarterback, who gets it out to about the 10-yard line, but
well,
not a live return.
People this week, JP, whether or not Nick Marshall could return, they're trying to find a role for this guy. He's looked very impressive at corner, may not be ready to play corner this year, will be a special teams guy in some capacity if makes the team. Don't know if he's going to return yet, but clearly he's getting a little bit of a look there.
So it's first-team offense against the first-team defense, and they'll start from the 20-yard line. The starting center is Luke Bowenko, and the word is that he and Stefan Wisniewski will change throughout the night with the number one team in different situations, but Bowenko gets the start there this evening. And Blake Bortles breaks the huddle. Andre Branch is on the field. Remember, Clemens is still out. Turns in motion, and it's a handoff. This is Denard Robinson. He doesn't get back to the line of scrimmage, and it's Jared Odrick with the tackle.
Well, that's good news for the defense, right, JP? But it's not surprising they would start off with a run. Denard Robinson, Toby Gerhart, TJ Yeldon, they're going to rotate early. People expect Yeldon to win the job, but Denard Robinson is going to have a big role in this offense.
Allen Robinson comes near side. Allen Hearns to the top of the screen. Single back is still Robinson. Julius Thomas, newly acquired tight end, is in motion. Bortles back to throw. A three-step drop. Pump fake. Some trouble. Pressure, and that will go down as a sack. They'll mark him down at the 7, make it the 9-yard line on a sack, and the defense starting off strong.
Yeah, it looked like a little bit of a coverage sack there, like he had a little bit of time. But, you know, get back to the first play a little bit. Jared Odrick is a guy that maybe people didn't quite put on that level of a Julius Thomas signing, but is a guy that is really impressed. Would have probably been in Miami if not for the Sioux signing. Jared Odrick, a big key on the strong side of the defense, and may even play the interior some. Maybe as good inside as he is outside.
Third down and 21 for the offense at their own 9-yard line. Aurelius Ben is on the field. Shotgun snap for Bortles. He'll toss it out to the right, a screen. This is Denard Robinson across the 15. Poslesny is there, and so is Devon House, the cornerback, to bring him down after a gain of 16. It's fourth down and 5.
Well, there's probably some people jumping off bridges right now, JP. I mean, first series, obviously not what the offense wanted. If you're looking for the offensive line to be, you know, better first series, you know, gave up a sack, which is not what you're looking for. But let's give this thing some time.
So they'll move to the second team, same situation, starting at the 20-yard line. And Chad Henney is on the field as quarterback. The second team offense, Stefan Wisniewski with this group at center, at least to begin the night.
And what's notable, you know, people talk about the depth on this team. You look out there, you've got Toby Gerhart, you've got Stefan Wisniewski, Aurelius Ben, who has looked good. You've now got some people who are playing backup roles who have starting experience, which is what this team's been wanting to do for a long time. Looked like Josh Wells on the outside may have missed a block on that one. So
Gerhart hit behind the line. Yeah. Ryan Davis with the tackle.
And, you know, not surprising on this team right now that a defense in its third year would be a little ahead of an offense in its first year.
Second down, they'll call it 11. Three wide receiver look. Chad Henney in the shotgun. Gerhart to his right. Calls for the snap. It's an inside handoff for Gerhart. Can't get out of the traffic. He might have had 2 yards on that one right through the middle, so a long way to go on third down.
Well, and people remember Gerhart last year probably didn't play up to what people thought he was going to coming as a free agent. He has looked very good in training camp. A lot of people expect Toby Gerhart to have a significantly more productive year in the role that he's going to play this year than he did as a starter or as a part-time starter last year.
Four receiver look. Rashad Green is on the field in the slot near side. Chad Henney points out in the defense, pauses for a moment.
Nick Marshall playing corner out here too, JP.
Henney looking near side towards the sideline, and it's incomplete.
Yeah, Nick Marshall on the play there, JP. Pretty nice foreshadowing by me, huh?
That it really was. Well done. You've been around here a bit, John. But the Nick Marshall story is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
He goes to the Senior Bowl in Mobile as a quarterback, was in a quarterback meeting, left, and decided to go work out as a corner with the Jaguar staff, of course. Gus Bradley likes that kind of attitude to challenge yourself. And they end up signing him as an undrafted free agent as a corner.
Yeah, even beyond the attitude, what they really like about Nick Marshall is he shows a lot of the traits that you want in a corner. He can break to the ball. He has good ball instincts. Again, I don't know if it's realistic. I think he's going to be a frontline corner right out of the gate this year. But it's striking how much they talk about his ability for such a young player who hasn't played this position in a couple of years.
Play fake. Henney has Koyak, the seventh-round tight end, for a first down and a little bit more. Out of bounds around the 40-yard line.
And, again, Henney, one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league, has looked very good during training camp. I even get some emails, people wondering if he might start, JP, which I'm not sure he's going to be. I'm not sure he's going to be the starter this year. Hopefully we can break that story if it happens. But he's looked very good, and the Jaguars obviously feel good about having him as the option if something happens to Blake.
T.J. Yeldon is on the field, the second-round running back out of Alabama. He is the single back, Koyak in motion. Henney back to throw, looks near side. He has a man, it's complete, and out of bounds, Aurelius Ben at the 48-yard line.
And again, Ben is a guy that you've been reading a little bit about the team this offseason. Is a guy that you know is an up-and-coming name on this team. Second-round pick, Tampa Bay in 2010. Been hurt a lot. I think he's probably going to make the team as the fifth or sixth receiver and will be key on special teams, but he might surprise you in terms of productivity on offense.
T.J. Yeldon still in the game, the single back, a couple of tight ends. They bring the wide receiver close to the line. Quick toss for Henney. It's complete across midfield, and he's brought down at the 45-yard line. A little scramble for the ball at the end.
And yeah, that was Tony Washington on that catch. He's another guy I just talked about, Ben possibly being the fifth or sixth guy. It's striking how competitive that fifth, sixth receiver spot is. Tony Washington, as much as people have talked about Ben, is a guy that has also made plays, had a very good catch this year. This weekend in practice, will make a strong push for this roster.
Clay Harbor is on the field. He's on the near side, split out to the far left. Back to throw, Henney has some protection. Throws near side in and out of the hands of Harbor. Nick Marshall there in coverage, but Harbor had a couple of steps in front of him clear.
Yeah, Harbor, seemed to get around that ball just as it got there. Henney looks good, and Henney has looked good all through training camp. Clay Harbor is a guy who got bumped down the depth chart a little bit when they signed Julius Thomas, but helps make that tight end position maybe as deep a position on the roster. Took it from an area of weakness maybe last year to strength now.
Handoff. Yeldon's first touch of the night. Finds a hole on the left side. Stiff arms Marshall out of bounds. And a nice run for T.J. Yeldon for about 6 yards.
Well, not to get too excited, but that's sort of a fitting run for him to have his first time out of the box. It looked like he was bottled up right at the start and then just sort of glided, did a little stutter step. It is striking how easy he makes running the ball look. It's really his first run in live contact people have been able to see. Has really impressed. He was the number 36 overall pick in the draft, and they feel like they got a steal. They love what he's going to bring.
Yeldon finished fourth in Alabama history in rushing yardage in a school that has produced all kind of running backs.
And one fine broadcast.
Back to throw, Henney. Has time, has Yeldon. The 35, tried to cut left. He's hit by Jeremiah George, and Marshall was there also.
Just really, if people have read us on the website, they know how I feel about T.J. Yeldon. A very, very, pretty guy to watch, if that's the right word. He makes the game look so easy that it almost sometimes looks like he's not running very hard, but again, makes a few yards where you weren't sure they were there. I think you're going to see that sort of play a lot this year.
Walters, Washington, and Ben are the receivers. And a delayed handoff for Yeldon. He's caught in the backfield and dropped.
It looked like the exchange got a little delayed there. I think that was Fort. Is that correct on
that
the tackle?
That was Kari Fort.
And the Jaguars' depth at linebacker has been something a lot of people have written in concerned about, a lot of fans concerned about it. The front office likes their depth, Fort, Reynolds, Jeremiah George, a lot more than you might think. They're a fast bunch who's going to contribute on special teams.
Bernard Pierce is in the game at running back. Picks up the blitz. There's a pass over the middle, a tip ball, and it's intercepted. Tips and overthrows, an emphasis for the defense, and it comes through.
Looks like Ford, I believe, or was it Ryan Davis?
It's Ryan Davis, who, remember, a couple of years ago had a play in Houston similar to that to seal a game. He was downfield in coverage, made a diving interception to really close that game, and he did the same thing right here. Ryan Davis with a nice play.
Well, he's one of those guys that you have to have on a team. Not a high draft pick, not a big-name free agent signing, but a guy who makes plays, like you said. Also, I think he had 6 sacks last year. A lot of people want the Jaguars to try Ryan Davis more at the true Leo. Usually gets most of his sacks inside. I wouldn't worry so much about trying to move him. This is a guy who makes plays from his position and is very productive. Why move a guy if he's being productive where he is? So I think you'll see him stay, but continue to make plays like this. He just fills up the stat sheet, for lack of a better cliche.
So they'll go to a punt situation. Brian Anger is on the field, second in the league in average last year, but 16th in net average. The coverage woes a little bit last year. Gets it away, high spiral. This is back to the 23-yard line, and it's Corey Grant, the rookie out of Auburn, to the far sideline, trips out of bounds around the 35.
Yeah, Corey Grant, I think that was about a 10-yard return. Other than a spotter up here, we're a little low on us finances for staff tonight. He's a guy who has really impressed within the framework of what he's been allowed to impress with, meaning there's only so much that a very, very fast running back can do during practice. Can't break tackles, can't really show what you can do in return until the games. He is incredibly fast, maybe the fastest player on the team. Corey Grant, when you're looking for storylines during the preseason, first, second, third preseason game, watch to see how much they put him back there. They want to see if his speed will translate into big plays on special teams. They think it can. That may indicate that may dictate him having a spot on the roster as the fourth or fifth running back, which they wouldn't normally keep that many, if not for him.
Ones versus ones, a backed-up situation. Wisniewski is on the field at center. Yeldon in the game at running back now with the ones. And an inside handoff to Yeldon. Hit at the goal line, and they'll give him just across the goal line. Paul Poslesny is there to wrap him up.
Yeah, Paul Poslesny didn't let him glide that time. Didn't look so pretty there. But it was Paul Poslesny, Dan Skuda, Jared Odrick. That bunch there believes that this is going to be a significantly better, and when I say that bunch, I mean Poslesny, they think they're going to be a significantly better running defense this year because of the presence of Odrick and Skuda.
They gave him back to the one-yard line, so second down and 11. Thomas in motion. Short drop for Bortles. A little contact before the ball got there, but no call. Intended receiver Allen Robinson, and looked like Colvin on the coverage.
Yeah, and that's really strength versus strength out there. Allen Robinson may have had a chance to make that play, like a little contact. Aaron Colvin on Allen Robinson is one versus one right now in terms of ability to cover, ability to make plays in the passing game. And not surprising that Colvin won that. He has played exceptional during training camp. And Colvin moves into the slot here, I believe.
This is a nickel situation. Poslesny and Smith are the linebackers. Colvin in the slot. House and McCray on the outside and some motion.
Yeah, and we had the penalty there, but that's a storyline we've been talking about. Not surprising to see that. So Colvin on the outside on Robinson early, and now you've got House, you've got McCray on the outside, Colvin moving into the nickel. It has seemed more and more, the more talking, the more you listen to Aaron, the more you listen to the coaches, that's the direction that they feel like they have a chance to go to keep Colvin on the field. He's an exceptional nickel, so you put him where he's very strong in passing situations.
Third down, 11 from their own one-yard line. Gerhardt in the game, flares out to the right. Bortles looked at him. It's tipped and nearly intercepted. Telvin Smith jumped just a hair early. He might have had an easy touchdown, but it's incomplete and brings up fourth down.
Yeah, Telvin Smith wishes he had had about 5 seconds more of hang time because he was in the air forever waiting for that thing. And just mistimed it. And again, some pressure on Bortles. Looks like the offensive line did okay holding up. As they say, have to go back and look at the film on that one, JP. I'm sure you will.
It won't be pretty, that's for sure, on that play. So the twos versus twos now. The ones couldn't get it done. So Chad Henne brings the number two offense back on the field. The defense still on the far sideline getting their final instructions from Bob Babich. Glad you're with us tonight. Live coverage of the Jaguars scrimmage presented by Florida Blue on Jaguars.com. Exclusive coverage, the only place you'll have video coverage of tonight's festivities. Bernard Pierce is in the game. Ben is the wide receiver to the near side. Washington is on the far side. Two tight end set. Jacobs and Clay Harbor shift to the right. The defense matches him. Play fake. Over the middle. Deep throw. It is complete to Washington. Past the 20-yard line. He's brought down at the 22. First down.
It's funny, JP. Tony Washington, you sort of come into camp in our positions with sort of preconceived storylines. And it's Aurelius Ben. You're talking about the other wide receivers. And yet every time you talk about Aurelius Ben, you also look out there and Tony Washington is making just as many plays. And he continued to make plays. He's fast. Not a guy to count out in terms of making this final roster.
Any backup under center. Harbor in motion. It's a handoff for Pierce. Running right. Gets past a linebacker across the 30. Has some room and he's pushed out of bounds past the 40-yard line.
Well, you watch as much practice as I do, JP. Bernard Pierce, it was easy to sort of forget about him because you're talking about these top three backs they've got so often in Robinson, Gerhardt, and Yeldon. And yet, during practice, Pierce keeps on doing good NFL running back things, picks up the blitz pretty well, and he seems to have a run every couple of days where you go, okay, that's why he's a veteran, that's why he knows what he's doing. So a deep running back group right now for this team.
Gerhardt back on the field. I mean, Pierce has been around. It's his fourth year in the league.
Yeah, shouldn't surprise you, but.
Penny looking to throw. Rolling right, has to throw this one away out of bounds. Ran out of room that time, but yeah, Pierce, remember, he had a big 2013 where a lot of folks thought he was the next Ravens big-time back. He was kind of the second man to Ray Rice in Baltimore, but during that Super Bowl run, he was a big part of that.
Well, I mean, going into 2014, people figured he was going to be the starter. Didn't work out because of circumstances, and then Justin Forsett came in.
Yep.
But Pierce was supposed to be their guy in a high-functioning running offense.
Neil Sterling is on the field. Late draft pick this year out of Monmouth. He's at the top of the screen. Henny in the shotgun. It's a handoff for Gerhardt. Loston is there, the first man. And Michael Bennett also in on the tackle.
Well, and you know the offense clearly not really having the night that they wanted to starting off. But you are seeing some things that they want to do in terms of having Gerhardt in that kind of situation. You're out of the shotgun. Quick handoff to him. That's where they feel like they can get production out of him. Not necessarily is that starting running back, I don't think, but now he's split wide, for example. So those are the sorts of things that he likes doing and the sort of things that they feel like he can do well.
Dan Scuda is lined up at Leo, as he has been in passing situations throughout camp. That could be a role for him, certainly in camp, with all those Leos out. Back to throw, Henny over the middle, incomplete, out of the reach of Sterling. He got a mitt on it, but couldn't haul it in.
Yeah, got there kind of quick for him and just barely got his right hand up, and would have been a tough catch. But you mentioned Scuda right before that. He's a guy, I think, much like Odrick, that maybe fans, when they first signed him, went, okay, well, let's see. But when you talk to players about the signing of Odrick and Scuda, those were the two that really stood out, where you talk to players and they went, oh boy, here are guys who can really help us. Dan Scuda, because he's been in the playoffs, players know about him, very excited about having him, and the fact that he can put his hand down over on the right side there and a rush out of the Leo spot, certainly a big deal while they wait to figure out that position with Chris Clemons out.
Punt return, Rashad Green is at his 25-yard line. Anger is in the game. So they'll look at the return team here. Gus Bradley stopping things for a moment. The Jaguars head coach walking into the formation.
Yeah, so far tonight, JP, I'm sorry.
They're a man short. Ben is running on the field.
It can't be a man short. So far, you've seen Grant and Green back in punt returns. You've seen Nick Marshall kickoff return. Maybe getting a little feel for what they're looking at back there.
Anger gets it away. Not the best, a little wobbly spiral. Green up to the 33-yard line, cuts to the right, has some room near the sideline, and a nice return to the 44-yard line.
And you've got to think, it's a little bit of a dilemma for him there. You know, if Corey Grant wins that job, you're probably keeping him just to return punts. Whereas Rashad Green's your punt returner, he's probably going to be in your top four wide receivers anyway. So you've kind of got to juggle that a little bit from a roster management point of view. You would think they would like to see Rashad Green be that guy who can get the job done from there. He did it well at FSU at times.
Sudden change situation. So the offense starts on the defense's 40-yard line. It's ones versus ones again. Bortles with a handoff to Denard Robinson. Stutters past Telvin Smith across the 35. And they'll actually call him down at the 38-yard line.
Yeah, you're going to see Denard challenging that call. Can you challenge in a scrimmage, JP?
The officiating crew is here. I don't know if the replay screen's here tonight.
But right there you saw why, yes, they have T.J. Yeldon, but that's why you don't rule Denard Robinson out. I don't think he's an every down, all season guy. He can do that for you.
They did give him the 33. They put the ball, the officials were at the 38. They put the ball at the 33. It's the Jaguars scrimmage. Thomas in motion. Play fake. Bortles looks near side. Down the field, Allen Robinson falling down. There's a penalty flag.
Yeah, Allen almost made a heck of a catch there.
It's offensive pass interference.
Wouldn't have counted anyway, so not much to regret.
Devon House in the coverage.
But that's the sort of thing that you're going to see them try to do. First down run, and then there was some play action there on the second where you went to your big wide receiver, Allen Robinson. Not the night so far productivity-wise that you wanted offensively, but starting to see some glimpses of what they're going to want to try to do offensively. As much play action as they can get in because they want this running game to be strong.
Third and three. Yeldon is the running back. Bortles steps back into the gun. Has some time. Looks over the middle. It's complete. Tied in for first down yardage. That's Mercedes Lewis. First and 10.
And I think that's a play right there that you're going to see a lot this year. Not necessarily just over the middle. Mercedes Lewis catching short passes for first downs has been very good in training camp so far. And on a lot of things like that, where it's about just being bigger than the linebacker and going and getting the ball. So we've talked a lot over the years about him being good. This could be a year where he's productive early.
Hearns in the slot. It's an inside handoff for Yeldon. Makes a man miss. They'll give Branch a tackle at the 25 instead.
And got a little half windmill there. I'm not sure what that is Branch is doing. It's a little bit of a hula.
He was happy about it.
He'll pull that out on you every now and then.
In a real game, I don't know if he brings him down.
Well.
We'll see. They'll give him the benefit of the doubt here tonight.
At least he's happy. It's good to be happy.
His yellow shoes tell you he's pretty happy, too.
But you also saw Yeldon there gliding through 4 or 5 yard carry. Continues to look impressive to me.
Motion again. It's Julius Thomas back to throw. Bortles has a man. Allen Robinson. Touchdown.
And touchdown despite a little hold there, too. So that's really what Allen Robinson gives you. It's why we've been talking about him all offseason. Can use his body. Frankly, ran through a little bit of a hold and still made the play. Not probably going to be a 60-yard reception kind of guy, but big plays like that can be his MO.
We talked about it at the start of the show, John, playmakers. You've got to finish plays like that. When you have an opportunity to score, and he did it.
And correct what you just said. Probably could have gotten the hold on that. Could have gotten the interference. He had the ball at the 5-yard line. Who knows if you get it in. Finish the play. That's a touchdown now instead of a wonder.
Extra points moved to the 15-yard line this year. So Scobie is on, and Scobie is good.
And so far, JP, I think you've seen, with the exception of the offensive line getting a couple of sacks, that's going to be an issue. We're going to talk about it. You've seen some glimpses of what they want to be. And they clearly have things they need to do to get better on the offensive line. That's not going to be an overnight fix. But you're seeing that they want to run the ball. I think Yeldon's going to help this offense. And I think you're going to see more out of Allen Robinson like that than you did last year. He's much more confident. He talked this offseason about being more aggressive, going and making plays in big situations. I'm not going to say this, daylight touchdown in early August is a huge indicator of that, but it does show what he's capable of.
That's a good start, that's for sure.
Better than a bad start, JP.
I remember last year he was a clutch receiver when he was on the field, 17 third down receptions.
He was, but he'd be the first to tell you, yes, he made some of those plays. He felt like he left too many on the field as well. And he just felt like he wasn't himself as much as he wanted to be in terms of being aggressive, in terms of making the sort of play we just saw, which is, I don't care what happens defensively. I'm going to make this play because I'm the best guy in this matchup. And he's much more confident. He feels like he should make that sort of play. And I don't want to make – that's not a Super Bowl winning catch there,
right.
But you did see what he's talking about a little bit.
Bernard Pierce on the field, twos versus twos in the sudden change situation. It's second down and 9. Henny has the snap. Throws left side, complete. Washington for a gain of 4.
I don't handle sudden change situations all that well in my life, JP, so this is probably a good drill for me. Sudden change is evil to me. But, hey.
Have at it,
let's
John.
Let's go to it. This is
third down and 5 coming up. Clay Harbor is on the field. Ben is on the field, a wide receiver. Gus Bradley said something interesting this week that he was asked, could you keep six receivers? They could keep six, I guess, theoretically.
Yeah, right? And there's going to be some numbers stuff going on because they don't have a fullback. So there's going to be some unique numbers on the offensive side of the ball, the skill positions.
Nice play by Josh Evans to swat it away in front of Clay Harbor. That would have been a first down, but on third and five, it's incomplete. And Josh Evans, with plenty of time at free safety in his past, makes a nice play there.
Is this Scobie or Myers here, JP?
This is Myers.
Yeah, he's got the leg to hit this from about 10 or 15 yards more than this. He's got a cannon.
53-yard field goal for Myers. Jason Myers out of Marist College. It's on the way. It has the leg. It is good.
Yeah, that was good for about 15 more. So he's got the leg.
His story is pretty incredible, too. They found him at a kicking camp in Mobile the week before the Senior Bowl.
Wow.
A couple of Jaguar scouts went over there just, hey, let's go check this out anyway. And they found three or four guys they wrote down, brought them in for a tryout, all three of them. One guy was hurt. Another guy was terrible. This guy hammered everything. They decided to sign him as an extra camp leg at least. And hey, what, he's made almost everything in camp.
That's a great story as long as you're not the guy who's terrible, I guess, right?
that part of the story is not so great for that guy.
Well, and watching Myers in practice, you are struck by, you know, you hear the stories about in baseball, the ball coming off a guy's bat sounds different.
That's true.
When you see him kick, it looks different. He's got a cannon.
This is the final session before the two-minute halftime. Denard Robinson, this is a kickoff return session, and Denard Robinson is back in the end zone, hoping to bring it out. Scobie is back on to kick it away. Robinson, 5 yards deep. He'll bring it out. Across the five, back to the 10-yard line. And that's about all for number 16. The halftime period is due now. Two-minute halftime period for the Jaguars at the 2015 scrimmage. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, glad you're with us tonight. Well, I tell you, the early part of this, the move the ball session, not so great for the ones.
Right.
They went three and out. The twos, in fact, went three and out. They decided to keep it going just to get some plays in tonight. But as the periods went on, the offense seemed to kind of open up a little bit and make a few plays, especially Allen Robinson with that key touchdown.
Yeah, and fans really want to see this offense improve in leaps and bounds. So there's going to be some concerns on that front. There were a couple of sacks given up. It didn't look smooth early, but there's going to be hiccups as this thing gets going. And remember, this is practice, and you're still a few weeks away from a preseason game, or you're still a week away from a preseason game. At the same time, as we discussed, you're seeing things that they want to do. I think you're seeing some depth at the running back position. You're seeing that Yeldon, once the line gets going, and the running offense, blocking for the run can take some time because it's all about continuity. But you're seeing Yeldon do the things that you expect him to do. He's smooth. Once the holes are there, he's going to get the holes. And Allen Robinson's catch, Blake Bortles' throw, that's what they want Allen Robinson to be, and that's what they want the offense to be able to be. Run a little bit, get some play action, be able to make big plays. Too few big plays in the last few years for this offense.
And then on defense, Ryan Davis had a nice tip ball interception. That's been his MO throughout his career, to be back sometimes in situations. Had the big play in Houston a couple years ago to seal that game, and a similar catch here tonight. Tips and overthrows on defense are key every day.
And it's so hard in a scrimmage situation because by definition you're talking about, well, if the offense doesn't do well, then the defense did great. Or is it the defense doing great? It's not surprising that the defensive front for this team, especially with Odrick, with Pozlesny, with Scuda, when I say front, I mean the strong side of the defense, the defense that's going to be stout against the run, would be a little bit ahead. Those are veteran guys who are supposed to be playing at a high level right now in their career. So you saw Odrick on the first play break through and make a big stop. They believe that even though the pass rush, you're not sure where that pass rush is going to come from yet, But they do believe that because they can be good against the run, that they can set up enough situations to be able to be a good pass-rushing team, force them into third and eight, force them so that you're not getting so many six-yard runs on first down. So I'm not surprised defense is a little bit ahead. This looks like a defense that maybe not as spectacular in terms of 45 sacks, but will be much more solid this year.
Another battle to watch tonight, and we've been watching it throughout the evening, is at center on the offensive line. Wisniewski, Bawanko trading reps with the ones tonight, and that'll be the case the rest of the evening. And they said earlier this week that that could even go through the first two preseason games. One could get a start in one, Wisniewski or Bawanko, the start in the second preseason game. They want to have this wrapped up sooner than later, but they don't want to make the wrong decision. Either way, though, either guy has started in the league. So yeah. It's not like it's some new guy coming in.
It would be a little surprising to me if they chose this before the second preseason game.
Okay.
Because they've alternated so far, you would think that they want to give both of them a look in there. I had a scout tell me this week just what you said, and you're not the scout. Either way, you've got a situation where you've got a guy with at least 14 starts who, when they go to the line of scrimmage at the center position, will look out and know what they're seeing and be able to communicate that. Didn't have that early last year. No matter how talented the guy is physically, that's huge for that position.
Let's get back to the scrimmage now. The halftime period is complete. The Jaguars are back on the field and ready to go for the second half. Kickoff coverage is the situation now.
Then halftime adjustments are key in a scrimmage like this, JP. So let's watch for that.
All 2 minutes of them. So the coverage is the watch here. This is Denard Robinson on the return to the 15 and hit at around the 17-yard line and brought down there. Cappy made the first contact. So a red zone situation. No kicking here, no extra points or field goals. Ones versus ones on offense, at least that was next on the schedule. They've spotted the ball at the 24-yard line.
Getting back a little bit to that play by Allen Robinson in the first half, JP, if you think about how many games last year where they would get inside the 30 and then really didn't have somebody to sort of finish it off, you know, they were pretty good at times between the 20s and then would bog down. So that's something that they wanted to see out of him, Julius Thomas. If that's a sign they're better there, that's a good sign.
Just outside of the 20, this is the red zone situation from the 24-yard line. First and 10, Yeldon in the backfield. Play fake, rolling right, Bortles. He has Julius Thomas across the 20 to the 15 and out of bounds. They'll give him the 14 and a first down.
And this is an interesting little drill right here, because exactly what we were talking about. What will they do? What wrinkles? How will they be able to use Julius Thomas and Allen Robinson and T.J. Yeldon? I think it's pertinent that Yeldon is in the game right now. I think or in the scrimmage right now. I think sooner rather than later he'll be the starter. The way he moves, the way he makes people miss, makes him very dangerous in the red zone.
Start off in the eye, and then they'll shift. Lewis and Thomas are the tight ends.
With Yeldon split out wide, interestingly.
And uncovered for the moment.
There is that.
The snap. Bortles to the end zone. Julius Thomas, touchdown!
Yeah, and here's Julius Thomas, which, you know, in the last 15 minutes of real time, we've seen Bortles go over the shoulder to Allen Robinson and Julius Thomas. And as much as you don't want to overplay what happened early in the scrimmage, you don't want to say that's the end of the world, this isn't Super Bowl stuff, but it shows you why these guys are important to him. Julius Thomas is a red zone threat. Most of his touchdowns with Denver out of the 24 he had came in the red zone.
That's right.
It's what you want him for. So many times last year they bogged down. Seems like they got a couple of guys who can make plays. Huge difference in the NFL when you're talking most games decided by 7 to 10 points.
Scobie is on for the extra point, and he's true. Well, red zone threats, John. Like you said, Thomas has the proven stats to back it up. Mercedes Lewis has the jump ball ability to get that done. And then we've seen Allen Robinson, especially in the offseason program, sky for balls with that huge vertical jump.
Again.
Yeah, over and over and over again. That's three guys just off the tip of the tongue that can get that done.
And you also split Yeldon out wide there, who's a legitimate threat to catch the ball. You know, there are things they can do with these guys. So often in the past couple of years, you would get to halftime with this team, frankly. They'd have scored three or four or 6 points, and you would wonder where points were going to come from because they just didn't have guys who could make plays above the X's and O's. Well, Julius Thomas just made a play that not every tight end in the league would make that catch, a special sort of catch. Those are the things they haven't had in the past.
Twos versus twos, tight red zone from the 12-yard line. It's first and 10. Henny is the quarterback. Inside handoff for Gerhardt. Across the line of scrimmage, they'll give him the 11. So a gain of one.
Well, Gerhardt there gave him the 11. He sort of burst through after the play was over, running so much harder than he did during the season after he got hurt last year. I talked to him for a while this week. Very frustrated last year, obviously, after he got hurt in the opener. He believes he has his strength, his quickness back. He believes it's going to be a better year. The team thinks he's going to contribute a lot.
Second down and 9. Ben in motion. A little slant inside, complete to Washington.
Which is 3 catches for him, right? I mean, that was a short catch, but he catches the ball. And, you know, one thing that's important to do as a receiver is catch. And I'm not saying that in a snide fashion, but if you can be as open as you want. If you don't catch the ball, you're not very productive. He rarely drops the ball in practice.
Washington, a practice squad player last year for the Jags, undrafted free agent last year out of Appalachian State. 5'11", just under 200 pounds.
App State.
Solid night tonight. Henny looking right. Throws right, complete to Gerhardt, but Latulele is there for the pop. Fourth down.
I have an App State beer mug, JP. Matter of fact, not on me, but.
Well, they're the Mountaineers, right?
I spent a lot of time in Boone. A
couple of App State players. Remember Demetrius McCray, draft pick from Appalachian State. This is a field goal try now for Jason Myers. Wisniewski is on late.
And so that's, we'll watch the field goal here, but they believe that they're going to be much better up front on field goal block this year.
From 25 yards, good for Myers.
And I'm not sure who was on there just then, but they believe that bigger up front is going to translate to not having the problems that they had last year in certain situations getting field goals blocked. Some of their special teams concerns were up front, and they think they're going to be a lot better in those situations this year. You would hope. At the times, it wasn't very good last year.
That's very true. So they'll spot the ball at the 35-yard line. It's ones versus ones.
Branch's shoes are noticeable, aren't they?
They're a little
bright. It's hard not to see those.
They're a little bright, John. Big year for Andre Branch,
too. It is a big year for Andre Branch.
Play fake, rolling right, steps up in the pocket, Bortles on the throw, deep ball, incomplete.
Nice pass by Bortles there, though, and did a nice job, as you said, stepping up in the pocket. That was Hernsey, right?
Yes.
Right on his hands, unusual that he would drop that long one because he's been catching everything in practice.
Wow.
Would have been a really good catch, but pretty good deep throw. And I think you saw there, some pocket presence, stepped up, did a nice job in the pocket. Bortles looking a little more comfortable as the night goes on.
Second down and 10 at the 35. Bortles in the gun, Denard Robinson the tailback. Back to throw, Roy Miller was in his face, and a whistle. John Osier, we might have to kick you out of here.
Well, if it's about going toe-to-toe, I can go toe-to-toe with this guy.
Appreciate it tonight.
All right,
we'll look forward to your writing coming up.
All right, buddy.
John Osier, senior writer, Jaguars.com, joining us. And we're now joined by the pride of the Jaguars, Tony Baselli. Hi, Tony.
JP, how are we doing?
Great. How was radio tonight, first off?
Oh, it was outstanding. It's always good. Frankie and Jeff. So it was a lot of fun. Fun to watch his offense so far and defense. Slow, a little bit of a slow start for the offense, but they got it going.
Couple of big plays. Allen Robinson with a nice catch. Thomas had a touchdown. But Ryan Davis with a pick on defense. Bortles looking to throw. Pressure from behind. Telvin Smith celebrates what would have been a sack.
for. He is a playmaker, JP, and I think we talked about it on the radio. I think he's going to be probably the biggest playmaker right now on the defense side of the ball. And it's a matchup if you're Bob Babich in this defense, him working against Denard Robinson, a little speed rush, you know, sneaks around the outside. Denard's got to do a better job of moving his feet, using his hands. And at that point, the foot race between Blake Bortles and Telvin Smith is not one that Blake's going to win very often.
Blake at 6'5", 232. This will be a long field goal try for Josh Scobie. They've officially gone off the script here, Tony.
That doesn't surprise me.
A 50-yard field goal try for Scobie, who was 20 of 26 in field goals last year. On the way, has the leg. He's good. The kickers are perfect tonight.
Well, we saw earlier, you know, when we talked about it on the radio, JP, we think it's a competition between Josh Scobie and Jason Myers. And we saw early Jason Myers boot one from 53 with ease.
Plenty of leg.
Yeah, hit the middle of the net. So that's something to watch all of training camp.
It might shock some fans that that would even be the case. Scobie's been around here for a long, long time. But at some point, he won't be around here anymore.
Well, he's been around a long time. He's been a very good player for this team. I don't think he had a great year last year. And he makes a lot of money for the kicking position. And it's a situation, whether it's the kicker or any other position, you're always looking for young guys who can play. And it's going to be a good competition, a good battle.
Jeff Toole is on at quarterback. Handoff. Corey Grant from Auburn hit right around the 35-yard line. Thurston Armbrister with the tackle, the rookie out of Miami.
Yeah, listen, they're not playing tackle, so it's touch or thud. I don't think Thurston makes the tackle there on Corey Grant. I mean, he was going by real quick, maybe in a little bit of a flag football. Maybe I missed it, but that's the rules of the game right now. Interesting, though, that Jeff Toole's in the game before Stephen Morris.
Toole with a little league experience, very little. Two games, one start in the league with Buffalo. Some running room for Storm Johnson across midfield. Brought down at the 45-yard line.
Well, this is a big, you know, big camp for Storm Johnson. He's got to make plays, and it is only a scrimmage. But, boy, he hits off tackle left, does a great job of getting north and south, seeing the hole. And you saw a little bit of a burst from Storm Johnson, a guy who's been, you know, injury and the non-football injuries coming into camp, kind of waiting to see what would happen with him. But nice explosive one. Good job of blocking off the left side of the offensive line as well.
Seventh round pick a year ago out of Central Florida. Still in the game at tailback. Two receivers in the game. This is a handoff for Johnson. They got about a yard straight up the middle.
And it's something we're going to see, you know, at this point, offensively, a lot of one back. You're not seeing fullbacks, you know, so you get a lot of one back runs. Right there, we saw that again with Storm Johnson. If you're going to get a lead blocker, they're going to use the tight end as a move guy to use him as the fullback. That's why, you know, you got six tight ends in camp. Wouldn't be surprised if they keep four to five of them.
Wow.
Because there isn't a fullback on the roster.
Could be five or six wide receivers, too. That'll be the numbers game. Which extra position they get without the fullback. Tool. Near side complete. That's Connor Hamlet, undrafted free agent out of Oregon State with a reception.
You know, you mentioned Jeff Tool. Played a little bit in Buffalo. Doug Marone's familiar with him. Is he a Washington State guy, I believe?
Yep.
Not a big arm. You know, if there's a weakness of Jeff Tool, it's the arm strength. We've seen that in practice, but the strength is he knows right, very precise in his decision making, sees the field pretty well, and gets it out of his arm. Gets it out of his hand, I should say.
Replaced E.J. Manuel in a game in 2013, and then a couple of weeks later made his only career start against Kansas City. Tool, little pressure, steps up, they'll blow it dead. Chris Smith had a great week last week on the practice field. Had a day in one-on-ones, I think, where he was undefeated. He might have been 4-for-4 that day when we watched him. But Chris Smith had three sacks a year ago, too.
Trying to take advantage of the fact that Chris Clemens is not practicing right now. He's getting more reps with the injury to Dante Fowler as well. So that Leo position, really, right now, it's him with Andre Branch. Beats Williams, the tackle, but he also had two nice rushes against Luke Jokel early in the scrimmage.
This is Jason Myers from 50 yards. On the left hash, in the air, plenty of leg. It is good, and it would have been good from probably 15 more yards than that.
I think it was still rising as it went through the upright. Listen, Jason Myers has a huge leg, and talking to some of the guys on the staff throughout camp and watching what he did in OTAs, he opens some eyes. And young guy, strong leg. You know, what's going to come down to is this preseason. What do they do during the games? But not just field goal wise. Obviously, that's going to carry the most weight. But how deep are they kicking into the end zone on the kickoffs? The staff would like more touchbacks than they got last year.
Scobie had 37 touchbacks a year ago.
But if you look at how that ranks amongst,
not very high.
Yeah, across the league, JP, that's pretty, that's average.
The other argument, the Jags didn't kick off a lot either.
Well, that is true. That doesn't help them, but we had a number of blocks, some misses. I thought the ball was coming out low most of the year on the field goal. There's a lot of reasons for that. So it's going to be a situation where Josh Scobie's going to have a good camp. I mean, he's the incumbent. He's the guy who's favored, and I think all things being equal, they trust Josh Scobie, and, you know, I think he'll be on the roster. But if Jason Myers clearly outplays him, outkicks him, I don't think Dave Caldwell is afraid to make that decision. And he's going to kick off right now, so let's see how deep he puts this in the end zone. His last one was about 8 yards deep. Josh's two kicks were 8 and 5 yards deep.
That's right, and this will be a return no matter what. This is a return situation. Myers gets it away. Very deep. Would have been out of the end zone. Grant's going to bring it out across the goal line to the 10. Gets a block to the 15, to the far sideline. Has room to run. He's pushed out of bounds to the 40-yard line. And the speedster out of Auburn with a nice return.
Problem is that would not have counted because he caught the ball a yard out of the back of the end zone. But, hey, who's counting? So we're going to get the first offense back out there, JP. I thought they might be done after they put the threes in with Tool, but Blake Bortles is coming back out, and they're going to run a little goal line here. You got Tyson Alualu at the fullback position. We talked about how they don't have one of those. And so during training camp, we've seen Tyson play that role. Don't expect him to get the ball, but he's going to be that lead blocker, and I'd hate to be the linebacker if Tyson Alualu has squared up his shoulder pads and is coming clean through the line of scrimmage.
Ones versus ones. The ball at the 3-yard line.
And typically they do this as live, so this should be tackled to the ground.
Toby Gerhardt is the running back. Gus Bradley has some final words for his defense. Jags offense trying to punch it in the I formation. Alualu at fullback. Gerhardt. Toby Gerhardt to the right side. Nowhere to go. Back to the line of scrimmage. That's it.
Yeah, he got stacked up pretty good on that right side. They're trying to go through behind Jeremy Parnell. He's the powerhouse, and Brandon Linder. Not much movement there at all. And Paul Poslesny from his middle linebacker position scrapes over, makes the initial hit, and then Dan Skuda cleans him up.
Second down and goal to go from the 2-yard line. They did give him 1 yard.
Yeah, this is a pride issue, too, as an offensive lineman, JP. This is where you want to get physical. You want to be able to manhandle your guy.
Koyak in motion. Play fake. Rolling left. Bortles looks toward the end zone. Throws it back. It's a touchdown. Clay Harbor was going towards the corner, then moved back towards the middle of the field. That got him away from the defender. And an easy touchdown for Harbor.
It was an easy touchdown. I think we got away with maybe a possible hold there by Brandon Linder as he pulled out. He's trying to escort Blake Bortles to the corner. You know, it was touch and go, but the officials are out there. They didn't call it. And so, you know, no flags on the ground, so we'll call it a clean play. They're going to go for two here.
From the 1 yard line this year, that's the option. Gerhardt, shoulder down. He's in. Touchdown. 2 points.
Actually,
no touchdown.
Actually, it's not. You know what they did, JP? They brought it back out because they were going to run three plays no matter what, because the 2-point conversion is still from the 2-yard line, and so they wanted to run three plays. I thought the same thing as you did, but because it's a scrimmage, even though they scored, they wanted to get the ones versus ones for three reps, and so that was a 3rd-and-1 situation.
I'm glad you're on the wall here, Tony. I'll be honest with you.
Well, I was thinking the same thing as you did, but I was looking at the down marker and kind of the situation, what they're doing. Now they're going for two from the two-yard line.
And no down marker here.
To back you up a little bit, they talked about in the offseason of possibly moving it up to the one-yard line for the two-point conversion, but they did not end up doing that.
From the gun, Bortles has Yeldon to his left. High snap, looks to throw over the middle, incomplete. Nick Jacobs was there. And Cyprian in coverage.
Yep. Trying to get a crossing route, pull the tight ends, one underneath, Nick Jacobs over the top, just nothing there. Great protection, though, by the offensive line. Allowed Blake Bortles to sit in that pocket for a long time. Tried to sneak it in there with a fastball to Nick Jacobs. But Sip did a good job raking that left hand, his left hand and arm over Nick Jacobs' forearms, jarring the ball loose.
So now, twos versus twos in a goal line situation, first and goal at the three.
Yep, we're going to get three plays no matter what. I always found it offensive as an offensive lineman if we didn't score by running the ball here. I was happy we scored, but you felt like you kind of bailed. You know, we couldn't get our job done if we had to throw it in.
Gerhardt at fullback. Yeldon is the tailback. Play fake. Henny looking to throw. To the end zone. It's intercepted.
Dropped. It's Jeremiah George, I believe. Is that 54 who dropped that?
It is. Jeremiah George.
I'm not sure what Chad Henny was looking at. But from up here, it looked like he was covered for the whole time. And, you know, very fortunate. That's one thing this team can't do. When you're first and goal from the 3-yard line, you can't be throwing picks and turning the ball over.
And if you're George, you got to bring it in.
Yeah, you got to take that to the house. I mean, you undercut it. There's nothing but green grass in front of you. You got to catch it and go.
Yeldon cuts to the right, dives to the goal line, touchdown.
I think he's going to end up being a better short yardage back than Toby Gerhardt.
Why?
Watching him run at Alabama and then watching him in camp and just seeing that he has great vision. And he's one of those guys, JP, he runs upright. So you're like, does he have the power? But he finishes with power in everything he does, and he glides so well and sees the field. Right there, it was stacked up. He wanted to go left. It's stacked up there, and just that little, I want to say it was a jump cut, but that little shuffle step to the right and explosion in gets him into the end zone. I really like how he runs the ball.
This is third down. Yeldon again to the left, has a little room, breaks a tackle, and he's in again.
Another great example of what I'm talking about, JP. He's going left. It's stacked up. He stretches it a little bit. He's able to turn his hips and his shoulders, and with enough body lean, he runs through two tackles. He sees it so well, and he changes directions with such acceleration. He's not a guy who has to slow down to do it. Now, he's come off the field, and they're bringing in Bernard Pierce, and he's walking a little bit slowly, walking to dock. I don't think it's anything, but it looks like they're looking at his left hand, JP.
Trainer and Dr. Kaplan are there with Yeldon.
Yep, Scotty Truluck is the trainer, taking a look at him. He's walking fine. He's walking away from the docks. That's always a good sign. Hopefully TJ Yeldon's fine.
Two-point try. Henny to the end zone, bobbled and then caught. It's good for two.
You only get 2 points there, even though you caught it twice. You only get 2 points, not four.
Connor Hamlet out of Oregon State.
And just a little update for all our web.com fans.
Jaguars.com.
Oh, Jaguars. Yeah. On the web.com.
We love web.com.
Don't get us wrong. We do, but wrong call sign, I guess. For all the Jaguars.com, excuse me, TJ Yeldon is walking in to the tunnel, into the locker room with Dr. Kaplan right now.
Okay.
So let's hope it's nothing serious.
We'll find out after the scrimmage tonight how serious, if it's serious at all, on TJ Yeldon. But it appeared they were looking at the left hand somewhere, hand, wrist, somewhere in that area. Don't want to speculate too much.
But we will, because that's kind of what we do.
That's what we do here, Tony. Punt situation. And then they'll have a two-minute situation. At least that's on the script coming up next. We'll see if they stay on the script. This is Redfern on the punt. A little short.
Yeah, not a great kick.
Hits at the 42, but takes a nice roll back to the 25. Picked up anyway, Nick Marshall, but nowhere to go. He got a friendly bounce, but that was about it.
Yep, not a great kick and a bad idea. Now, maybe he was told to do it, but if you're Nick Marshall, once that's short and you can't get it to fair catch it, you want to try to fair catch it no matter what so you don't get that extra yardage to the punting team. But if you're not going to do it, it hits the ground. Get away from it. He starts chasing it, and then nothing good can happen at that point because that ball takes a bad bounce, hits you. It could be a turnover. And I think you're right, JP. They're going to go, looks like 2 minute. Yep, 2 minutes is up on the clock. They're going to take it from the 20. Got the first unit back in. My guess is this will be probably the last time we see this first unit.
The ball is on the 20. We'll see what the situation is.
What's the situation say on your script?
The script says at the 29, 1:41 to go, down by two and no timeouts.
All right.
So we'll see. Bortles looks to the near sideline. Gus Bradley peers that way also. And they might be confused on the situation as well.
Yeah, we got a conversation with, I believe, Sarah Thomas, the new the first female official. She's on she's the line judge on the Jaguars sideline. They're talking to her, I think maybe trying to replace where they want the ball and what the situation is going to be. A little bit of confusion right now.
What have you seen from the offensive line tonight? Center battle. They've rotated snaps to the ones.
Yeah, it's tough to tell from up here. You know, get too much into too many specifics or details as far as technique-wise and what they did. But, you know, as the center position, as a unit, I thought they started slow. Not a lot of movement in the run game. I thought protection was shoddy, you know, some leakage and too much push on those first two series. After that, I thought they really settled down and did some nice things. Protection was nice. They ran the ball on those two drives where they got the ball with a short field. And I thought Blake was very, when given time, was very sharp throwing it on target. Two great throws for the touchdown. So, you know, overall, I think it's positive. You know, a lot of times this point of camp, defense is going to be ahead of the offense. It takes some time to get into a groove.
1:09 on the clock. They'll play from the 20-yard line. Ones versus ones. Bortles looks far side, has a man complete for a first down. And the clock continues to roll.
Well, it didn't start.
Except it doesn't roll. In reality, it would. No huddle.
Now it's rolling. We got an extra time.
Bortles over the middle. Hit the tight end, Thomas, in the back of the helmet.
Well, it was right on target. But obviously, Julius Thomas thought they were running something else because he never looks back. It wasn't rushed because the protection was good. Luke Joklo actually does a great job on the left side of picking up a blitzing corner. And for whatever reason, Julius Thomas just, they're on the same page. Doesn't look back.
Second down and 10, just outside of the 30-yard line. Four receivers. Bortles in the gun. Back to throw. To the right side, Julius Thomas bobbled it. Still caught it with House in his face.
I have no idea how he caught that ball.
He's made some catches this camp that are pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, he had House over the top, Telvin Smith underneath. Not sure why Blake threw that ball, but he does. And somehow, with outstretched arms and those big old mitts of Julius Thomas, he snags that out of the air. Not a much of a gain. It's to bring up third and nine, 8.5 yards, 8 yards. So big third down conversion with 54 seconds left on the clock.
Bortles looking to throw. Has time. Steps up. Throws. It's incomplete. House on the coverage. It was intended for Allen Robinson.
Well, I love that, though. You know what I love about that, JP, is the protection. And Blake was able to step up. He was comfortable. Good job of the inside three, creating a firm pocket. No one in his face. And that's great coverage. Yeah, tip the cat to the defense. I mean, we need our defense to play well at the same time. And Devon House, big free agent signee out of Green Bay, is in blanket coverage and comes down and makes a heck of a play.
So they'll bring the field goal unit on. They're going to spot it at the 50, yeah. So a 60-yard try for Josh Scobie.
They're doing this in warm-ups, JP, and the ones I saw Josh hit from the 50, it was a little bit short. Wasn't quite getting there during pregame warm-up.
The snap, the hold are both good. The kick is in the air. It is no good. Off to the left. Had the leg.
Yeah, boy, that was a line drive shot, wasn't it?
Had to be, I guess, from 60.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be overly critical of Scobes on a 60-yarder. My goodness, can't you make that? I mean, that's not going to make many of those.
Scobie, in his career, 26 of 42 from 50-plus. And his career long, of course, is 59.
Against the Colts, right?
And a game winner in 2010.
So now we got the twos out here. And my guess is no matter where they take it, they're going to give, my guess, they'll give Jason Myers a chance at that 60-yard kick as
well.
Why
not? So first and 10 at the 20-yard line for the twos, 1:09 on the clock.
You know, going back to the offense, that first group, and I talked about this offensive line struggling, I thought, a little bit early, but that was another situation. Very good protection. I mean, great job of protecting. So they've gotten better as this scrimmage has gone on.
Henny in the gun. Pierce is the tailback. This is a throw near side complete. Ryan Walters, second-year free agent out of from Seattle.
Yep, working against Nick Marshall, the converted quarterback out of Auburn.
Clock moving, 52 seconds. Henny looking to throw far side. It's complete. That's the tight end, Clay Harbor. He's pushed out of bounds at the 35.
That's good awareness by Chad Henny. Rashad Reynolds, the corner, is on a blitz from the side that they threw to. Clay Harbor replaces where he's going to be. The receiver runs off. Chad knows exactly where the pressure's coming from, knows where his outlet is, and gets it there.
Green in the slot. Walters on the near side. Washington up top. Henny looks towards Washington, throws behind him, looking for the back shoulder, but nothing there.
Yeah, that was short and outside. Not sure, you know, early in camp, you wonder with a rookie receiver, was the route too long? Timing off? Was, you know, Chad expecting him to sit it down a little bit early? Was it supposed to be a comeback? Were you supposed to be coming back to the ball? We just don't know. And it's really hard to speculate and point the blame too much this early with guys trying to figure out exactly what they're supposed to do.
Third down and 8 at the 35-yard line. 42 seconds left. Henny steps up, looks downfield, throws complete at the 42-yard line. There's Washington again. He's had a pretty good night tonight overall.
Yeah, it's a deep in route, about an 18-yard in, working against number 29, Tommy Campbell.
Fake spike, and Henny overthrows on the outside out of bounds. That worked an earlier time last year, the fake spike.
Yeah, Dan Marino did that, and I think everyone's figured it out since then. But going back to that deep in route, it was Williams or Washington that caught that ball. The reason those deep down the field, everyone says we want to throw the field ball down the field more, press it down the field. You got to protect. Protection's there. Quarterback can take time to let those routes develop.
Second down and 10, 22 seconds remaining. Henny looks to the right side, throws toward the sideline, and it's knocked away. There's a penalty flag back near the line of scrimmage. Tommy Campbell was in coverage, but the flag thrown well away from that play.
My guess is someone on the right side of the line, either Sam Young or Austin Pasdor, only because of the vicinity where it was thrown. You know, the officials have no mics on, so we're not going to hear it. But the referee threw it. He's looking at that side of the line of scrimmage, so we only can speculate.
Second down and 20. Henny. Time, throws deep over the middle, complete, and it should be first down yardage to the 30-yard line. Nice throw and catch.
Is that Washington again, JP?
That is Copeland.
Copeland.
Damian Copeland, second-year undrafted man last year out of Louisville, was on the injured reserve with a wrist injury last year.
And that was a strike from Chad Henny. Clean pocket, is able to step up, get something behind it. Got the first down, but only 9 seconds left, so they're going to kick the field goal. Same situation, going to give Jason Myers a chance from 60, see what he can do.
Myers with a big leg. We've seen it all night. Now, remember, he kicked last year in the Arena League. You have to be precise in the Arena League. What a 5-yard window to get it in. Different animal here, of course. This from 60 yards for Jason Myers. Snap is clean. Hold is down. The kick is in the air. It has the distance. It is good.
hit the bottom of the net. That's good from 65, maybe. I mean, that was a and it split the upright. That is a big kick, and that's a heck of a job by Jason Myers, and might we say game on.
I guess we'll see.
There is a competition, boys
and girls. We'll see starting this coming Friday night when the Jags welcome the Pittsburgh Steelers when the lights come on for real.
They'll get equal reps. I imagine Gus Bradley will give them equal reps throughout the preseason, and they'll chart all the kicks, all the PATs, all the field goals, all the kickoffs, and see where it shakes out.
Punt return situation. There is a 3-versus-3 period, a move the ball session on the schedule after this punt return situation. Rashad Green at his own 31-yard line. Redfern is on to punt. Gets it away. High hanging punt falls short, lands out of bounds at the 39-yard line.
That's not too, those are two average kicks by Redfern.
Redfern, a first-year undrafted man last year out of Wofford. Didn't play in the league. He was a final cut with Jacksonville last year. And now back in camp in 15.
So, at this point, I would probably say Brian Anger's job looks safe. But a lot of time left. A lot of things can happen.
It's early in camp.
Early in camp.
I would say you're correct.
You don't want to make too many assumptions at this time of the year when it comes to who's going to be or who's not.
Here we go. Deep down the depth chart now. Threes versus threes. A regular move the ball situation. They'll start at the 38-yard line, first and 10.
Steven Morris is that quarterback.
Undrafted last year out of Miami. Storm Johnson is the tailback. Gets the handoff, stutters to the right. Hit by Latulele and Cappy. He got one.
Yeah, not much there. You know, one of these guys to watch, or some of these guys to watch, what I'm paying attention to closely is Shatley, who is the third center right now. He's a powerful guy. They liked him enough where he battled to make a roster spot last year. Converted defensive lineman, but has a lot of potential.
Morris with a handoff to Johnson. To the right side, cuts left. Cappy grabs him at the 44-yard line. Now Shatley, a guy who had played guard. Now remember, he went to Clemson as a fullback and then converted a couple of other positions.
Played
finally,
defense correctly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then finally moved to guard and started a couple years at guard for Clemson. But he loves to move to center because it's a little faster to the man in front of him. There's not as much time for the guys...
Yeah, he's
what
I call a box player. He likes to play in a telephone booth, close quarters. He's powerful.
Morris from the gun. Time, throws complete. Near midfield, Armbrister with the tackle.
And that's Greg Jenkins.
He was brought on when Ace Sanders was cut.
Second-year player out of Alabama State. A lot of these guys are going to be fighting for the end of the roster. Going to have to do something on special teams, you know, try to, you know, find any way they can in that 53-man. And if that doesn't work out, try to get on the practice squad.
Corey Grant is on the field as the running back. Whistles and a penalty flag.
Yeah, tight end moved right closest to us. 47, Connor Hamlet, just a little bit of a twitch. You mentioned earlier, he's a rookie out of Oregon State. It's a deep tight end position group right now. Crowded meeting room. A lot of guys sitting there. But with no fullback on the roster, as we mentioned, a lot of opportunities to make the team.
Morris from the shotgun. Three receivers. Copeland in motion. Morris has some time. It's a screen for Corey Grant, but hit right away and knocked down. Todd Thomas with what would have been a tackle. Corey Grant runs anyway. They'll give it to him. And as they say in Auburn, taillights, touchdown.
Yeah, I think they're going to bring that back, though.
I would hope so. Thomas had him at the right.
Thomas is like, wait a second. I wrapped him up. I stopped him. And we're not supposed to tackle, so what do you want me to do? Yeah, and Gus Bradley's saying, all right, enough of these shenanigans. Get your rear ends back here.
Hey, but if you're Corey Grant,
keep
no
running.
Whistle. Just
keep
run,
running.
Baby. Just run.
And you see how fast he is. He ran away from everybody. No one's going to catch him.
The guy ran a couple of 4.240s at his pro day at Auburn this year.
I've run 4.2 before.
Have you?
Yeah.
To the buffet?
About 30 yards.
So
maybe 28.
They'll give it the 49-yard line of the defense. Second down, officially, and 10. Four receiver look, three spread out to the right. Storm Johnson shifts to the left as Morris adjusts something on the line. Morris has some time. Looks near side towards the sideline. It's low and incomplete. Looking for Ben Koyak, the rookie out of Notre Dame.
They had a 3-by-1 situation. Three receivers at the top. They put Koyak, the tight end, and split him out as a receiver at the bottom of the formation on the offensive sideline, closest sideline to us. And he just runs a simple comeback route and could not bring it in.
This is fourth down and 10 for the threes versus threes and could be about it for tonight. Morris sparks out the signals, back to throw, steps up, rolls to the right, looks to throw still on the move. It is over the middle, nearly intercepted. That's Nick Marshall with a nice play to at least knock it away, but nearly brought it in.
Well, there's one thing you don't do as a quarterback. They call it the cardinal rule. Don't roll one way and throw across your body to the middle of the field. Nothing good will happen. You can't see the entire field. Half the field's blocked off for you, and so you can't see defenders coming in. Nick Marshall sitting right there, comes over the top, should have intercepted the ball.
Tony, let's move back here.
Okay, we're going to move.
Wrap up the evening for us here on Jaguars.com.
All right. Let's do that.
As the scrimmage has come to an end.
Where would you like me, JP?
Move just back a little bit here, Tony.
All right,
thank
I'll take
you.
Directions nicely.
Yes, you do. You have been coached before.
Yes.
That's for sure.
I've been married 20 years.
In general, the scrimmage is done now. The Jaguars, what's your prognosis of this team now?
You know, listen. I'm not going to make a prognosis overall team-wise, but I thought where it started slow for the offense, I thought they made some adjustments. They played better as the scrimmage went on. Defensively, some nice things. They got pressure on the quarterback. You know, got the interception with Ryan Davis off the tip ball. So a lot of positive I think you can take all around. What I really liked is what Blake Bortles did and the first offense did when they got the ball in the short field. The two kind of changed the possession scenarios where they got, I believe, on the 45 and then on the 24. Yard line, they were able to score touchdowns, and they were big-time throws by Blake Bortles. One the Allen Robinson, one the Julius Thomas. So very positive. It's something we didn't see last year, the big playability, and to put the ball in the end zone when they needed to.
One of the notes we had to start tonight was keep the injury bug away. We saw T.J. Yeldon go underneath with the team doctors. We don't know anything more, but that's something you don't want to see tonight. But before that, Yeldon looked pretty sharp today.
Yeah, Yeldon looked great, and that is concerning because I think he's your best back. And I think he's the best back in every scenario, actually. You know, they like Toby Gerrard right now in short yards, but I like what he does. I like his explosion, his power, how he moves and sees the field. He's a glider like we've talked about. And you just hope that left hand, that's what it looked like, wrist-hand area where they were looking at. My guess is he went in for x-rays. We'll wait and hear afterwards. Now, remember, though, the team doesn't have to report injuries this time of year, so we might not find out really the status is. So we'll wait and see where he's at on the practice field next time we're out there.
Jaguars are in this stadium Friday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overall, first preseason game, players' perspective, what do you get out of it as a starter and a starting left tackle?
Yeah, great question, JP. You're looking to have a good first, not impression because you're a veteran, you've already made that, but really a good start as far as the season and getting out there against competition. It's the first time you get to see somebody else. And you understand as a veteran, you have limited reps. You know, first offense, you might only get 10 to 15 plays. And so the last thing you want to do is start slow and realize I don't get an opportunity to finish the game and kind of improve on things. So you got to come out with a mindset as I got to go and I got to be ready to go from the start because that's all I'm going to get. And you want to take advantage of those reps, work on things, and it's just the first block that you're kind of laying to build throughout the preseason, getting ready for the regular season.
Players are off on Sunday, back on the practice field Monday. Tony, we appreciate your time tonight.
Anytime, JP. Love coming on Jaguars.com, and I'm sure I'll see you quite a bit this season.
I'm sure you'll see me quite a bit this season, too. For Tony Baselli, John Osier, everyone involved, Patrick Cavanaugh, Dave DeCandis, Max the intern, who's here for the first time tonight, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Jaguars.com.